Not the Hannah Montana music. That's so embarrassing. Thank you, Emma, for that. I am so excited and honored and thrilled to be here this morning and to be bringing the word. Thank you to Megan and Micah, campusmen, College of Ministry, Dr. Ziefel, for the opportunity to speak this morning. I am a small church pastor's kid, and if you are also a small church pastor's kid, you know that means that you get the opportunity to serve in just about everything, so from worship to tech to kids, but speaking is one thing I haven't gotten to do yet, so I'm super excited. Like Emma said, we've been going through James, and last week Aaron kind of talked about this idea of favoring some people over others and how we should be loving others in community around us. And this morning we're going to be talking about James 2, 14 through 26. So if you guys could stand while we read the word, bear with me, this is a longer passage, but it's the word of the Lord, so it's going to be okay. Here we go. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. You guys can take a seat. That is a lot. That is a lot to unpack. That's a lot to process. So we're just going to jump right in. I think when we're talking about this passage, the first thing we need to do is define good deeds, right? So what is the biblical definition of a good deed? I think that it is something that is holy, something that is pure, something that is righteous. I think it's an action prompted by the Holy Spirit that is unselfish and for someone else's good. There are examples of good deeds all throughout the Bible. Jesus did dozens. If you skipped that week of Sunday school, if you missed a VeggieTales movie, you should know Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Rahab, the prostitute that this verse talks about, her story is in Joshua 2, but just a little summary of that story for you if you don't know. Joshua sent some spies out to Jericho to kind of like scope it out and see what was going on before they took over the city. And Rahab believed in the Lord and feared the Lord, and she housed those spies and she kept them safe and sent them back without being found. And because of that, she secured safety and life for herself and her family. Another good deed we talk about and sing about a lot is Mary Magdalene with the oil, right, that she poured out on Jesus' feet. I think when we talk about good deeds, we try to put a boundary on them, right? So, like, I'm not going to give that guy that's freezing on the street my $300 sweater because it's a $300 sweater. And if it was, like, a $50 sweater, then maybe, like, I would consider it, you know? But we cannot exaggerate the goodness of God. So no good deed is too big or too small if it is prompted by the Holy Spirit. But the key thing is that our good deeds are affected by our motivation. And we see this when Jesus is introducing the Lord's Prayer with the Pharisees, right? That we shouldn't be out on the corner making a big show of things to get attention, but rather seeking Jesus earnestly in an honest and genuine way. Our faith and our works are intertwined. That verse makes it, this passage makes it super clear. The Message translation, whether you like it or not, says that Faith and actions are a seamless unity of being and doing, that the very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. This isn't, I also want to make this clear, this isn't like a new or a rare concept in the Bible. It's not something James heard from the Lord and then wrote down. We actually see it again and again and again. If you have been to a Christian wedding in the last 5 years or you follow a Christian influencer, you're probably familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. It is crucial that we are demonstrating our faith through our actions, because our faith is what we base the way we live our life off of, not just an agreement that the Lord is real and true and sovereign. Another verse that talks about that is 1 John 2:4. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in truth. So why is this hard? Why does James talk about it? Why is it brought up again over and over in the Bible? I think there's two reasons. I think there's two categories that we fall into. The first one that we either consciously choose or fall into is this idea of works-based faith, which is an identity issue where we feel like we have to do good deeds to earn our relationship with the Father, when in reality, we just need to accept it. This is just a side note, but we have to be really careful not to let the failures of our worldly relationships dictate the way we think the Lord sees and views and has relationships with us. I think that we all have people in our lives where we have to work really hard to earn our relationship with them, or we have to like walk on eggshells around them. We don't have to earn the Father's love or earn the right to have a relationship with him, because he sent his son to die so that we could have free access to it. Being on worship team, getting straight A's, serving on hospitality, all of that stuff is good, and it benefits the community, and it's good until it becomes something we use to try and prove our dedication to the Father. I know that sounds contradictory, because I'm standing here and I'm saying we do need to demonstrate our relationship with him through our actions, but hear me when I say this. There's a difference between doing good deeds because you're living like Jesus and doing good deeds because you're trying to get worldly approval that you're a good Christian. I'm going to say that again because I know that's a lot. There's a difference between doing good deeds because you're living like Jesus and doing good deeds because you're trying to get worldly approval that you're a good Christian. That is a heart check moment for you. You kind of have to decide that. Discern that for yourself. So I'm just going to ask you to take a moment right now to ask the Lord to search your heart. And if you don't know how to do that, you can just ask yourself these questions. Am I serving right now in blank, fill in the blank, kids, worship, hospitality, whatever it is? Am I serving because I want to love and serve others like Jesus and offer up an act of worship and to benefit the larger community? Or am I serving to earn myself status? Or to earn myself power, or privilege, or respect, or compliments? That's tough. Something to think about. The other category I think we fall into is those of us that have faith without works. This verse talks about demons, literal demons. Know who God is and would agree with you that the Lord is real, but they're not walking in relationship with him. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, the Lord gives Isaiah a word to bring to the people. And the Lord says, "Your sacrifices mean nothing to me because you're continuing to live in sin." Their intention was all wrong. I am the oldest of three girls, and I love my younger sisters. They are my best friends. I would do just about anything for them. My baby sister, she's not a baby anymore, but Lauren, we are 6 years apart, and so when I was 9, if you do the math, that would have made her 3. And I remember this one morning, every morning in elementary school, I would come out and I would make myself a piece of toast and with butter, like that's it. Side note, if you're not spreading butter over the entire piece of bread, I don't know what you're doing. Like, you can't just put it in the middle, okay? I'll pray for you. I'm really concerned, but it's fine. Anyway, I come out, I make my toast, and we were like butter on the counter people, like in a little dish. Some people keep it in the fridge. We kept it on the counter. Every family's different, you know? And I lift off the little cover on the butter, and there are these teeny tiny little like indents in the top and like one on the side. And I'm looking at the butter and I'm like, I'm nine, so like I don't have like this vast knowledge, but I'm like, okay, it's too big to be a mouse. Like, I know there's not a raccoon in here. And I'm like trying to figure out, like, do I get my mom? Here comes Lauren toddling into the kitchen. And I turn and I look, and she's got butter like all up in her fingers and like on her face. And I'm like, Lauren, did you just eat that butter? And she's like, no. It's like all over her face. Poor sweet thing. Before I came to NU, I was actually at another university in California in the town I grew up in. And the summer between my freshman and sophomore year of college, my family actually took a church in a town 3 hours away. And I was living on my own for the first time. And without that accountability of my family and my home church, I very quickly became somebody who had faith, but I did not have the works to back it up. If you had asked me, I would have told you that I believed in Jesus and was a follower of Jesus and a Christian, but I was out doing things every night and weekend that I should not have been doing. So the question I have for you is, are you claiming to know Jesus and to have a relationship with him, but continuing to make poor decisions that are not reflective of his character? Are you standing in the kitchen saying, I didn't eat the butter, but it's all over your face and your hands? Are you using your faith as a permission slip to get into heaven, or are you combining your faith with works to further the kingdom? So what's the point? Why do we have good deeds? Why does the Bible say we need to use them and combine them? We do good deeds because they're an outward demonstration of the Father's character and the Spirit that lives in us. We are the Father's hands and feet, right? We know this from Scripture. I also just want to make it really clear that when we have the opportunity to share the gospel, that is a genuine, real, powerful opportunity to change somebody's entire life. Their entire life. The way they think and perceive and see themselves and see the world around them. We can't waste that. We have to have both faith and works to do that. I think if you've been a believer or a follower of Jesus for a long time, it's really easy to feel like you are giving a lot and not getting a lot back. And it's really easy to ask where your reward is, or where, like, where's my gift? Like, where's my happiness? I hate to break it to you, but the Bible doesn't promise happiness 24/7. It just doesn't. Jesus said this, right? They will hate you because they hated me. You will be persecuted because I was persecuted. I just want to encourage you this morning. Our reward is in heaven. We have an eternal reward. We have eternal life with Jesus because Jesus did the ultimate good deed by coming to earth as a child and dying on the cross for us. Do you know how crazy that is? I feel like we gloss over that so often. Like, we're like, yeah, like, Jesus died on the cross. We get to go to heaven. The end. The creator of the entire universe, of us, the king of the world, wants to know us so badly. So badly. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have a relationship with him. We can have it right now. Right now. Guys, I feel like we just gloss over that. If you have faith in Jesus, you have full access to the Father and to the Holy Spirit through Jesus and through your relationship with him so that you can do good works. Do you have genuine faith? Do you have faith and works? Are you trying to earn your relationship with God? Or have you just accepted it? Are you claiming to know God but living a life that isn't demonstrating that? If you don't, I just want you to know it's not too late. Not to panic. That's why we're here. It's why we're talking about this. And the first thing you need to do is tell someone. You need to get accountability. You need to tell a mentor or a friend or just someone you trust. And then as soon as you've done that, you need to get in the Word. I think when we struggle with issues like this, it's often because we are not spending enough time with our Creator, with our King, with our Savior. We have to have that personal time with him. So you're probably sitting there going, okay, Natalie, like, yeah, cute outfit. Should probably read my Bible more. Thank you. But so what? Right? I feel super convicted that there are many, many people in this room who come to chapel 3 times a week and listen to the message and then just go about their day and nothing changes. Don't do that today. Don't do that. You don't have to wait for a pursuit or a revive or a conference for the Spirit to move. What does God actually want to do today? What is the Holy Spirit trying to reveal to you right now? If you are struggling with the faith part, if you're a person who has works-based faith, you should know that nobody has perfect works, which does not mean, hear me, does not mean that you should stop trying. It is a continual process. No one has it completely figured out because we are human and we continue to sin. However, if you are walking in relationship with Jesus, those moments of sin become fewer and farther in between because you're pressing into that relationship. That's why we come to the Lord for help. I'm a pastor's kid. This has been like ingrained in me since birth, and I'm still figuring that out. It's a lifelong process. And if you're sitting here thinking, I don't struggle with this, I know who God is, and I have this all figured out, I would just encourage you to check your heart because I could almost guarantee that you don't have it completely perfected yet. Galatians 1:10, Paul says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. We are all guilty of trying to win the approval of others because A, we're human, and B, the world we live in right now demands it of us. I want to give you a tangible next step. I don't just want to let this marinate and then have you leave and have had nothing to do when we're talking about faith and works, right? So I'm going to ask you to take out your phones. Don't look at your messages or answer your emails. Just take out your phone real quick and go to your like clock or wherever your alarm clock is. Set an alarm for yourself before you go to bed every night this week. Just take some time with the Lord and ask, did I serve you, Lord, obviously, today? Because I am living into the calling you've given, because I am pressing into my relationship with you, or was I doing it to win the approval of others? Am I combining my faith and works and pressing into that relationship with him? Do you have genuine faith? I'm going to pray for us really quick. God, I just thank you for the opportunity to bring the word this morning. I pray that as we go about our week, we would be able to discern those gaps where we are not combining our faith and our works, God, and that you would just be with us as we work on that and as we go about the rest of our week. In your name, Jesus, amen. Thanks, guys.